Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones is confronting several major and politically difficult questions about the city's priorities and finances. Mayor Jones has called for the cancellation of a Kanye West.
It's going in and out. It's going in and out for me.
The headphones?
Yeah.
Whoa, is there another pair?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mayor Jones has called for the cancellation of a Kanye West concert that is scheduled for July 4th at the Alamo Dome, citing concerns about the performer's history of anti-Semitic statements and other inflammatory behavior. At the same time, the City Council has delayed a vote on a proposed San Antonio water system rate increase, while the city faces a projected budget shortfall of about $158 million over the next 2 years. An early budget proposal has also considered raising the city's property tax to the highest level allowed without voter approval. Mayor Jones is here now to take your questions. You can call in at 833-877-8255. And Mayor Jones, great to have you.
Good to be here.
So you have called for the cancellation of Ye's, Kanye West. I don't know about this Ye stuff. It's beyond me. It's totally beyond me. I'm out of my element talking about this. But he has a July 4th concert at the Alamo Dome. What are you asking for? What can you do?
Well, I've been very clear that I think this is a city-funded facility, the Alamo Dome is. City taxpayers pay to maintain this. And so it'd be those tax dollars that would then be used to host somebody with a long record years of anti-Semitic comments and, I mean, songs. There's a song called Heil Hitler. He sold merch with swastikas on it. And, you know, I know some folks have kind of tried to excuse it away as well. He always got a mental health disorder and he's apologized for those things. Look, if he was performing at Fiesta Texas or SeaWorld, that's one thing. But this is a city funded facility. And I think of all days, my goodness, the nation's 250th birthday. I think we as a community, I would argue, have the opportunity to say that we want and deserve better. I think it's also important to look at this decision in the context of the moment that we're in. We are seeing some of the highest levels of anti-Semitic rhetoric and attacks in the world, which is why actually those international cities have canceled his concerts, citing security concerns. I have reached out to other electeds to get a sense of where they are on this. I'm thankful Senator Campbell has weighed in, saying she also supports canceling this. Commissioner Grant Moody does as well. I think folks recognize just, you know, we can't have somebody who has, I think this is also, this is not kind of apples and apples with other artists. I mean, when you think of, you know, who's a famous performer and anti-Semitic, few people are higher on that list than Kanye West. And so I think for me, there is just an opportunity for us to look at the bigger picture here. I understand some of my colleagues feel differently about this. Some of them have cited the economic considerations, understood. But when you look at history, right, when you look at moments in time, some of the worst things that have happened have been enabled by silence and just excusing things away. And then all of a sudden you kind of turn around and you figure out, hey, how did we get here? Well, I mean, good people were silent.
So you want to take a stand?
I think we absolutely should. I think his comments are reprehensible. I think there is, you know, potentially more harm than good as a result of that. And I'm proud to stand with our Jewish community, and I'll be at the press conference tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Standing by with them as we continue to ask that this be canceled.
So can you, on your own, authority cancel the concert, or how does that work?
So at this point, because the what this has also shown, though, because I was not tracking the concert, frankly, this is an administrative thing. This is handled by the staff that handles the booking of the concerts. But what this has raised is the need for a process that is better fleshed out, that helps bring these kinds of potential issues to the council's at least awareness. When there may be some kind of potential public backlash or, you know, for lack of a better term, reputational harm to the city. So that is something that is under review. If we wanted to cancel this, the council would have to take a public action asking the city manager to do just that, so a public vote. So I just received feedback from my colleagues kind of about where they're at and more to follow.
People who say they're free speech absolutists, they think that people should be allowed to have free speech. This is a governmental authority saying you can't do this here. Is that a violation of free speech?
I think there's a difference between free speech and hate speech, right? And I think it's important to consider that. I don't think these are all the same. And certainly when you look at his years of these kinds of comments and the great actions and steps that he's taken to also monetize those anti-Semitic steps, very concerning.
If the concert does go forward, will the city have to take additional security measures, and will taxpayers have to bear that cost?
I would imagine so.
And is that another point to say this is why we don't want to have it?
I think there's a long list of considerations that, frankly, this unfortunate incident has identified in terms of understanding what is right to host at a city-funded facility.
Should the city now adopt some sort of formal policy that should be applied whenever it does bookings at city property and saying, okay, if you put swastikas on your merch, then you're not allowed to sell, or what is the metric?
Well, and so this is exactly what we flagged for the city manager is we need a process to help, at least for our awareness, and certainly to just the basic ability to answer the public's questions. So some step on, again, high visibility, potentially high backlash events, we need to be made aware of those.
Okay, moving on. The number is 833-877-8255 if you get a question for San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. The city council voted to postpone a decision on a SAWS rate increase. You voted against that postponement. What do you think happened there?
Well, I think, unfortunately, SAWS... I think the delay is unfortunate. As I said in my comments, and as Robert Puente, the CEO, confirmed, the plan that they were bringing to us, that was in fact the lowest rate increase that they would bring to us. Any delay only continues to increase the cost of completing projects. So whatever they bring back to us, he confirmed, will be higher than what we just considered. I was also, I think, like some of the public watching, concerned about the process that led to seemingly some of my colleagues' decisions to delay. There was discussion of a, quote, a list that was shared with, it seemingly for the first time, with CEO Robert Puente, less than 12 hours before we were supposed to vote on this. We've been talking about this rate increase for months.
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
4 months. So for some of my colleagues to just raise those things in the hours before the vote, I was taken aback, and you heard some of my other colleagues were also taken aback by it, because nobody was disputing the need for those projects to take place. They wanted some assurances about other things, and frankly, they already had those from the CEO. So delaying the vote, in my mind, didn't make a lot of sense, wasn't necessary. As concerning, again, I come from a world where we understand risk, we assess risk, we mitigate risk. And by continuing to delay it for some, undetermined amount of time, I mean, in terms of how it was determined that would be an appropriate amount, when you delay it, there's not only that the cost will go up. It's not maybe, kind of, sort of. No. The cost will go up. And there was no operational risk assessment conducted to inform the analysis that suggests we could assume a delay for those things, right? So normally when you ask for some, we're already talking about these projects need to be done in 26, 27, 28, and 29. And so by pushing them out, these are things that we've already identified as in need of upgrade or of repair, replacement. And so by pushing it out without a risk assessment that helps you understand what additional risk you're taking on as that delay, in my mind, seemed reckless, frankly, and unnecessary, given their asks were already going to be addressed, and the CEO confirmed them.
So bottom lining it, you're saying this delaying of the vote, and the vote's now being pushed back to October?
Well, there's a discussion in October, right? Discussion in October.
So the longer we wait, the more this is going to cost?
That's correct. And Robert Puentes said that on the record in front of the dais. I asked exactly that. I point blank, I said, what you're bringing to us today, this is the lowest rate increase, and it minimizes the risk that we know of today. Yes, it does do that. The other thing that he pointed out is that it delays some of the projects that we need to be competitive for the Toyota deal. The Toyota deal is not a done deal.
The expansion of the Toyota plant.
That's right. So the ASR plant, for example, that Robert Puente discussed, that's part of us having the infrastructure necessary. In my mind, you know, how you could kind of support an expansion, but then not support the infrastructure needed for that expansion, just didn't make a lot of sense. And we can come back also to the concern about a potential walking quorum.
All right, let's come take a break. Phone lines are open, 833-877-8255. We'll be right back with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. She can take your questions and comments. Moving forward, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, we have San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, and she's taking your questions, 833-877-8255. 8255. And when you're going to break, you said there were questions about a walking quorum. Explain what that is and why is that being discussed?
So there were some concerns from the public about whether or not that was in play. And you heard our city attorney identify why the accumulation of the demands, their demand list, did not, in his eyes, meet that threshold. So what we are, and certainly what I, and that's why I asked in that meeting, hey, whatever your list includes, because clearly not everyone on the council had received that list. I did not receive the list directly from Councilwoman Kaur. And I think others were also interested, because the letter specifically talks about the letter from, it was from, quote, several council members to Robert Puente. And so it was unclear, is that three? Is that five? Like, how many people is that? And so, again, when we are dealing with something as significant as a rate increase on something as important as our water infrastructure, the people need to understand, and they need to have the public discussion about what are the things that are informing people's decisions about potentially delaying that action, and certainly why, right? Again, if none of those concerns, in fact, have to do with mitigating the risk of the water infrastructure that we are there to oversee.
Let's take a call. We have Victor on the line. Victor, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Pardon my ignorance on the question, but I understand the rate increase is necessary for the to improve infrastructure. But are there restrictions on the use of the revenue generated from the increase as far as pay for CEOs and executives and things of that nature? Thank you.
Right. So will the rate increase money only be used for infrastructure?
The rate increase is used for infrastructure.
Only?
Correct.
Okay. So let's ask you about the property taxes in the city budget. 150 $58 million, we're talking about real money there.
That's a lot of money. And so you saw us kind of go through the potential very dire actions that we'd have to take as a result of needing to close this gap. And so it's important as we're considering this that we are also being as judicious as we can be with the things that are being recommended for continued funding. My priority are, I mean, if we were to think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Like what keeps people safe? What keeps people healthy, right? That we start there. And so I was then, I think you saw my surprise, concerned about things like, hey, we're only going to reduce, again, this they just happens to be on the list, but the San Antonio Botanical Garden, you know, reducing the city's contribution to them from 1.2 million to 1 million. It's like, wait a minute, you know, one of the things that we're potentially looking at is cutting nutrition centers and some other major things that are so core to people's just being healthy and safe. So, you know, help me understand why that number isn't zero. Again, you've got a private entity, nonprofit, but a private entity charging tickets. They've got an event called Bubbles and Blooms. Like these entities will be okay. And I would argue this is a really important moment for us to also be looking at corporate and philanthropy and foundations and understanding how they might be able to help cover some of these gaps. I think it's also fair, though, for some of these private entities in the community that are sitting on millions of dollars of assets, that they might want to also relook their own budgets, because we are in tough times as a city.
So belt tightening.
Tightening all around. And when folks say, well, if you cut that, then that nonprofit's not going to be able to do exactly what they did. I understand that. But the city also has city business that we need to do. We need to pay for our law enforcement. We need to pay for our public health. We need to pay for, again, all the things that keep our community healthy and safe. And that's the priority of the city, not subsidizing, right, the profits for these nonprofits or their ability to function and have fancy events.
So these belt tightening measures will be necessary even if you pass this tax increase?
100%. Well, I would argue they're necessary, period, right? Like what? Like let's talk to the people about, what is the full list of things that we subsidize? The other example that I brought in the discussion was, you know, we subsidize a lot of the Fiesta events. There was one proposed cut of $700K to cutting that subsidy by $700K. I know that's just one event. Right. That's just as the city manager mentioned, that's just half of what we subsidize for Fiesta, trash and cops. And so I don't think it's right that we are going to consider one cutting nutrition programs, raising people's property taxes, potentially so that we can continue to subsidize these private entities. Doesn't make sense.
So do you support, moving to collect the maximum property tax revenue permitted without voter approval?
I support, as I laid out for Eric, we need to go through the process and understand where is the money that we can save ourselves. I would argue subsidizing the activities of some of these private entities is where we should look. I mean, just the funding for, again, it's just an example, but the San Antonio Botanical Garden, that's $1.2 million per year, right? That's already 2.4. Plus the additional Fiesta money, that's another 1.5, right? These things add up pretty quickly. So I think we go through there. I also asked Eric, hey, the private money, the private debt that we're still owed, right? We need to go there. We need to go collect that. The money in the TERS, right? The money in these tax increment reinvestment zones and I get it. I'm not saying those things don't have value. My point is, what do we as a community place greater value in? And thus, we need that money to come back into the general fund. I would argue things like a nutrition center. I would argue things like libraries and senior centers are where we should be prioritizing our efforts.
Right. But doing moving up the property tax rate without voter approval. I mean, that people are wondering why not get voter approval.
I'm not anywhere near there yet. I think that we need to do more of our homework to figure out what that number looks like, because there's actually a couple of options. There's some increment left over from, I believe it's 24 and 25. or maybe it's 25 and 26, I don't have it right in front of me, as well as then the 3.5 that we're allowed to do. Because it's important that we're looking at this in the greater context, right? There's not just the resources needed to close the gap in the budget. As mentioned, there's the SAWS rate increase, which will now be higher as a result of the delay. Which will now be higher as a result of the delay, on top of the consideration to increase the capacity of the bond, right? Because right now it's only 600, which is about half of what we've got, what we had last in the last bond, 2022. So looking at all of this together to make sure we're, you know, if we do have to do anything to potentially raise the property tax, we can explain to people the necessity of that.
Let me ask you about this flu outbreak with trainees at Lackland Air Force Base. In your capacity, in your previous life, working in military service, and we had the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, just in April, dropping the requirement for people to get the flu vaccine. What do you see happening at Lackland Air Force Base with this flu outbreak, and do you think that these two things are connected?
100% they're connected. I mean, as the Undersecretary of the Air Force, the second highest over the Air Force and Space Force, your job is to organize, train, and equip. And you then oversee the care and feeding of the men and women entrusted to us, and certainly at basic training. So it's unfortunate that so many have fallen ill. And as a result, this does impact our readiness. If there's delay in their training, and if you are suffering from the flu, there is a delay in your training. It's also unfortunate that an airman has died, a recruit has died. Again, the public health is not something that should be politicized. And when you sign up for the military, you do give up some rights. And because there is now the interest focused on making sure that you can, one, complete your training and then well serve the country to serve the country's needs. So I think it's unfortunate. It's certainly unnecessary. Also, so I did reach out, of course, to our head of public health, Dr. Jacob, just to ensure that we were in comms with them. And he reassured me that this is a common strand of the flu. I think some folks were questioning, well, it's summer. What are we dealing with the flu here in case it might be something else. So it is a common strain. There are opportunities to get the flu vaccine at any of our Metro Health facilities. If you'd like to do so, the link is on the website about those facilities and then the costs associated with those if you don't have insurance.
Do you think that Pete Hegseth made a mistake when he said the flu vaccine is now optional with these recruits and then we have this outbreak?
It's certainly a mistake, of course.
And it seemed like they've rectified it. I think they're now requiring them to get the vaccination.
But science they have not is a thing. It. Like, regardless of whether you want to believe it, like, science is a thing, right? And it's really unfortunate that we're playing politics with people's public health and with things like vaccines. And frankly, this is exactly why, last fall, I asked our team to do the tabletop exercise. Not only are we dealing with cuts to public health, but we are dealing with also the misinformation around basic concepts in public health. And there are real consequences of that, unfortunately, like our recruits have found out the hard way.
And hopefully the leadership has found out the hard way, the Secretary of Defense, and they will avoid these unnecessary, unforced errors.
One can hope.
In the future, San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, thank you for coming in today and talking through and taking a caller question. And we'll see you soon again, I hope.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies, thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.